If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. All right, guys, welcome back to Talking Sense. As I mentioned, I've got Lori here from First Community Bank. She's joining me for a three-part series. If you missed last week, we talked about protecting yourself from fraud. This week, we're going to take on finding the bank that's right for you.
Absolutely. Of course, I think First Community Bank is the perfect bank for everyone, but maybe, you know, we'll talk. We'll give some other banks a chance.
Yes. And I think for you, I felt like this was a really poignant episode to do because you've been in several different banks and different styles of banking. So you kind of have an understanding of even those that are different than First Community Bank, kind of what some things are that they may be looking for that might trigger one of those.
Exactly. Different doesn't mean wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell everyone. You know, pick a bank that really works for you and what you need as a consumer.
And we talk about all the time at Gen Wealth that your advice can't be one size fits all. You know, I don't have the same needs that someone else has. So finding the bank that's right for my family's needs was really critical for me. And I've been part of several different banks as well because I used to be a bookkeeper. And I found that if I banked where I did bookkeeping, it was always the most smooth transition. When you know, for me, it was when you know the people in the branch. Because when you're a business partner, you're usually going to have more interactions. I felt like I always had a better experience if they knew who I was when I walked in the door, for me at least. But as we mentioned, Lori has just, like I said, a few years experience
few years.
In banking. And so
few decades.
We wanted to talk about how people can get a good understanding of what's a good fit. Because I've been some places where it was not a good fit.
Right, right. And so over the years, you know, I have been the person that did the surveys. I was marketing director for a lot of banks for over my career. And when I say a lot of banks, it sounds like a lot. But, you know, banks sell and move and change. And so you have to kind of go with the flow. Mm-hmm. So the, you know, in 1990, if you were to survey the crowd, it would be location. 2000, okay. Location. 2005 location, and mm-hmm. about 2010 it finally changed to your online services. Mm-hmm. So that had been, those are really the only two things that have been the primary reason people select a bank, but there are mm-hmm. definitely
those
other
are kind of
reasons.
The primary.
Those are the primaries. Location, do you want to walk in the bank, and is it important to you to walk in the bank, mm-hmm. and where are they? Is it convenient to your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. And for some, they may travel a lot. And being able to access a location where they travel, if they maybe work in a different city than where they live.
That's right. Those that travel a lot, they assume that a big bank that or a national access bank is the best for them, mm-hmm. because they can use an ATM anywhere. But then really, are you going to be able to actually find that ATM when you're in Chicago or you're in New York City or San Francisco? So is it that important? Mm-hmm. You really need to weigh that, because sometimes that's more of a perceived value,
yes.
than an actual value.
I can see that, because when I think about it, that's always been a driver for me, is do they have a local branch exactly where I live or close by? But when I think about it, how often do I actually need cash?
Right. And so many
and can't get it somewhere
yes,
else.
Yes, exactly. And it's more of a fear, I mm-hmm. think, for people. And right now you can go take your debit card to Walmart and you can get cash. Mm-hmm. So do you really need to come into the bank? Mm-hmm. But then you want that, a lot of people want that relationship to the mm-hmm. bank. You know, the foot traffic in a bank has declined steadily over the last 30 years. And I mean, I was banking in the day where every Thursday and Friday people lined up mm-hmm. 10 deep in every teller window. And the drive-thru was backed out all the way yep. to the street, and they were cashing their payroll checks.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty much not a thing anymore.
Yes, I was a teller in the late 90s, so I remember that.
Yeah.
The lines got crazy. First of the month, 15th, and then every Friday.
That's right. And when the Social Security or any government check moved to the moved to auto deposit, direct deposit, then boom, it instantly lowered our line. But it didn't stop the telephone calls because people on Social Security immediately then started calling to make sure their check came in because they didn't know how to log on to online banking.
That's funny.
It just changed.
Yeah,
just changed.
You said location's important to a lot of people. One of the things we talked about is, do you need loans regularly or credit? You know, do you have the ability to, through your bank, be tracked as a person, not just a number?
Yes.
You know, smaller banks tend to have the ability to look at you as the whole person as opposed to just your credit score.
That's right. So if you're a business, you're going to need some sort of credit at some point, a line of credit, just something to get you through a seasonal business or something like that. And so you want that relationship. You want to be able to just walk in to the same person and know they're going to be there and they're going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're on vacation or they have retired, then boom, someone else there knows what's going on with you.
And if you're doing this where you're a smaller business and you might need things regularly like that, you mentioned that some banks have a system where one credit check can cover you for a period of time as opposed to having a bunch of dings on your credit throughout the
year. That's right. So if you have a bank that has a credit card department and then they have a consumer lending department and they have a commercial lending department, make sure they all share the same database. And so you're not being dinged often on your credit because one ding might take 60 points off your credit card, off your credit score. So.
Yes, because every time it gets checked, that's affecting your score. That's something we've talked about in the past. And then the other thing was fees or no fees. I will tell you, being transparent, I left a bank because they wanted to charge me for my debit card. I felt like they make money every time I use the debit card. Why in the world would they charge me to have one?
Right.
And so that was important to me. I don't mind paying fees for things that are benefits to me, but I don't. Fees are important to just know what they are and have transparency there, I feel like.
That's right. My husband uses a different bank than I do, and he always has and didn't want to change. But I can log on to his account and with my own password, by the way, and because we own it jointly.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I paid two bills out of his account, and they charged me 50 cents. And it was paying a bill within their company.
What?
So it's like, okay, it was only a dollar, but the principle of the thing. And I'm like, you know what? I think it's time for us to close that down. Now he doesn't know that yet, but we'll have that talk at dinner tonight.
Well, and my husband had an account with a particular bank, and it's a national bank, but it charged a monthly fee. And I don't even know what the fee was for. He's had it forever. But finally last year I was like, hey, we don't use this for anything.
Right.
Can we please stop?
So the day of pure free checking is almost gone, but every bank typically has a method to avoid that fee.
Mm-hmm.
It has a balance. Okay, $500 if you go underneath the $500, if you go beneath $100, or you need to know what each account is. Or do you actually come into the bank? So there are some banks that will charge you to come into the lobby. Your checking account will be free, but to see a live person, they will charge you.
Got it. And you also, we talked about, determine what you need, but we need to weigh the amenities. What are the things that matter most to you? So as a business owner, if you're cash heavy, do you need access to a night deposit? Not all banks have a solid system for that. But we did talk about, just kind of as an aside, if you're going to do night deposit, vary your schedule. The risks are pretty high if you're doing the same thing every single day that someone's going to eventually.
Yeah, you don't want to be jumped in the parking lot or jumped leaving your place of business because they know, okay, he's got the big bank bag. He's going to do the night deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So move that. So if you're handling cash, talk to your local police department and they can also give you tips of how to handle cash. But also, if you need cash, like if you need cash back, is that bank going to have the cash you need? And if they don't, then you need to probably schedule that and do a change order because you want it a certain way. Banks do not carry large amounts of cash like we used to. When I started in banking, I'm telling on myself, you walked in a vault that you could upset a carousel in, and there was money literally sitting everywhere. Our vault right now is not near that big. Okay. Yes. Let's just say I don't know that I could get my body in it. And so, you know, banks just don't carry that much for the reason of potential theft and mainly need it. People just don't need it.
There's no need to have it laying around. Well, and when I worked for Wild River Country in management, we would do an order every week and it would be delivered by courier.
Right.
And so that was our way of handling
And that is the safest way if you use large amounts of cash is to use a third party courier that the bank will give the money to. And don't expect your bank to be running around with that much cash if it's a lot amount.
Yes.
And bring it to you.
And we all know.
We offer a lot of services.
Yeah.
But we also have to be, you know, cautious. As well.
Of your own safety. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about merchant services. You know, if you have like I used to, where I was the bookkeeper and then I also had my personal accounts, being able to track the business's credit card usage on top of the banking and having access to all that in one place was really helpful to me as the bookkeeper.
Right. So terms that a business owner need to get friendly with is treasury management. Mm-hmm. And merchant services. Merchant services is actually the system that you use to swipe your card and go through the Visa, MasterCard exchanges. The treasury management, and some banks may call it cash management, is really a souped up software for souped up online banking for commercial businesses. So if you have multiple entities, say you own a cleaning company, a restoration company, and a real estate company, and they're all under this, you have different tax ID numbers, they're different businesses, but sometimes you need to transfer money back and forth among them. You would do that under a treasury management system where you can see that. You can also, if you are heavy into checks and not cash, which a lot of businesses are now, you can get a scanner and just boom, 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 do your checks and you never have to come to the bank.
That's awesome. And then if you do use the bank, I think it's important to consider the culture because, you know, like you mentioned, some people don't ever want to go in the branch. Some people want to be able to call Lori
and talk to Lori
when they have a concern.
And they do. And they have my cell number. So that does happen. And there, for just as many people that never want to see someone, there is twice as many that want to have that relationship with their banker. And they want to come to our bank and they want to get a snack.
Yeah,
and they
say,
want
not
to
every
get a fountain
bank.
Drink. We have a Coke machine. I mean, a fountain. You can get Fanta and all kinds of cool
stuff. That's what I say. Not every branch has a soda machine in the lobby that you can go get yourself and waters, by the way, which may or may not have fed into my decision. But also another thing is some banks have like a teller line still, like the old classic teller line like I was part of. Some do more like teller stations, like First Community Bank does, where you're really a little bit separated. I kind of like that, especially as a business owner, I would imagine, having a little bit of privacy.
It certainly helps with privacy. And what you also don't know is we have many vaults at each one of those locations. Mm-hmm. And so it just really makes service faster because those are cash recyclers. So it's the accuracy and the safety. And there's just 100 things that make it better to do it that way. And so we're really happy about providing services that way. A lot of banks still do, they have the rope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always a bank, too, that has that teller that everybody loves, you know.
Yes.
And they'll stand in line 10 deep just to see that one teller.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I've had numerous of those over my career. And they'll go, and another teller will go, okay, well, can you come? You can come over here. And like, no, I'm going to wait for Cindy. It's okay. I want her. Yeah. And so everybody has their pick.
Yes. Well, it's time for our last 2 cents.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you go first, Lori.
All right. Experiences in the banking world can be all over the place. And the one point that we haven't covered that I'd like to get in on the 2 cents is if you're unhappy with your bank, make a change. It's not that hard. It is perceived as being like being drugged behind your car in the parking lot. But I promise we can make it easy for you. And I can show you how we can change everything in 30 minutes or less.
And I think it's important, too, to understand that, you know, just as each of us is unique and our needs are unique, having a bank that fits that perfectly will be absolutely worth the cost of time of making the change, in my opinion. You know, it's just like anything else. It's painful maybe for a moment, but it's going to benefit you in the long run.
Right. I have people stop me all the time and go, man, I really hate my bank, but I've got so many things coming electronically in and mm-hmm. out. And I'm like, then if you hate something that bad, it's worth 30 minutes of your time to fix it.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today on Talking Sense. Again, this was episode 2. So if you missed the episode on fraud, I would encourage you to go back and check it out. And if you're enjoying this content, make sure you like and follow, hit that subscribe button. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Rolfe team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Rolfe Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.